From artificial wombs to designer DNA, science tries to rewrite creation itself. But prophecy warns, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be again. Tonight we present, As in the Days of Noah, Man's Final Attempt to Play God.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton all the way from New York City. He's on the left-hand side of your screen. All that news and AI stuff, all that stuff is...
Yeah, that's the headlines from about 2,000 years ago.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's prophetic because...
It's the same ones we see today.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a great deal about stuff just like that, except a little bit more in-depth and more serious, for sure. David, go ahead and pray us into this show, and then I'm going to let everybody know exactly what we are going to talk about today.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this time that we get to share your word. We thank you, Father, for those who are listening in this special time that we're in this planet where we're seeing a striking difference between revival and people turning to the Lord and then people turning completely wacky. So we know the end is close. Maybe today, who knows? People have been predicting this Rosh Hashanah. We'll see what happens. But we're here to do your work until you return. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, but, you know, even before we show everybody what we are going to talk about, you mentioned that, you know, there's a lot of people interested in the month of September for whatever reason. And then... over this past weekend, I saw a post where there were something like 2,000 Israeli priests that are going to be in Jerusalem blowing the shofar at the very same time. And this is supposed to be on September the 23rd.
Correct.
Which is now.
Now, you know, so if you can hear it, you guys let us know.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, they said this has never happened before. So, you know, it's a little bit actually kind of gave me chill bumps, I guess.
Yeah. Technically it has, but not since about 2,500 years ago.
Yeah.
that's what they used to do. Rosh Hashanah, which is where we're at. The Essene calendar has it a little bit different dating, but the point is, here we are. According to the moon cycle, we're right here. And they would call it Rosh Hashanah, which is head of the year, or New Year's Day. And then they say Shana Tova, you know, like, you know, good New Year. And it was also called Yom Teruah, which is the day of blowing the trumpets, which is why they're there. Okay. They would all blow the shofar. And short story is they do it 100 times. They do... Three short blasts, three long blasts, three short blasts, three long blasts, over and over and over and over and over, 99 times. And then that final one was called the last trump. So we hear that term, oh, people say the last trump. That's in the book of Revelation. No, it's not. It's an idiom for Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah. And it was also called the Hidden Day, which is the name of our ministry here. The Hidden Day or Yom HaKaseh. And that was because you didn't know which day it was on. It was on the first day. The moon, the new moon, you got to watch it to see when that first little slither comes up and it changes. And you don't know which day and you don't know which hour. Hence another idiom, no one knows the day or the hour.
Right. I was going to say, that's exactly what God said about the rapture.
Yeah. And all the idioms for you know, the return of the Lord, that's what he said. No one knows the day or the hour, the last trump. All these things are pointing to the next feast day to be fulfilled, which is now.
Which is now.
Welcome.
All right. Now then, as
promised. Oh, one more thing.
Oh, okay. One more thing. Hold on. Let me get this down.
Did you know that Alaska is bigger than the next three states combined, including Texas, California, and Montana?
Okay. Let me tell you this. Texan standpoint. You melt the ice, we're bigger than them. That's a Texas standpoint.
No, that's just the land mass, not the ice. The ice just adds to it.
Okay, here we go.
But there's only like seven people that live there.
So. Right. All right. First of all, we're going to start off with Europe and the UK. Well, no, we're not either. That's the wrong topics. I can't believe I did that, David.
All right, we're not going to do that then.
No, we're not going to do that.
So should I give you another fact about the landmass of the United States?
Yeah, you should, while I go ahead and try to get rid of this and get up the right one. I can't believe I did that. Go ahead.
We went up to Maine last year, and then it's funny because Portland, Maine almost has better restaurants than New York City.
Mm-hmm. Almost.
But, yeah, almost. Just because there's not as many. But they're really good, and it's because the ships start there. I mean, it's beautiful land and all that too. And then it turns out there's actually more people live in New York City than the entire state of Maine.
Oh, okay, wow. I can believe. Yeah. Maine's not, Maine's nothing. Okay, I do have the right one now. Okay, so here we go. This is the correct lineup. We're going to talk about the new Tower of Babel in the laboratory, then transhumanism and the image of the beast, playing God with life and death, and then we'll end it with God's intervention and the days of Noah being repeated as they are
the
now.
The days of Noah. There, I repeated it.
So here we go. Today around the world, a science believing itself to be above God is looking for a new Eden. Looking for the power to be like God without God. Now with bricks and tar, but with genes and code. Not with tower of stone, but with a tower of data. And just like Babel, the declaration is exactly the same. Let us make a name for ourselves. We're told this is compassion, progress, and inevitable. We're told that this is the next chapter of human flourishing. But examine the words very carefully, and you'll see they're all about control, redesign, replacement, the language of creation without the creator. Look at artificial wombs, ectogenesis. Research teams are building systems they intend to carry human life entirely outside a mother's body from conception to birth. The promise is framed as saving premature infants. And of course, we all want to help families fighting for those tiny lives. But science is attempting to separate birth from the God-ordained covenant of father, mother, and child. The family, designed by God as the first sanctuary, is disrupted by a sterile machine that becomes the new sanctuary of the age. Next up, science is also working to create both artificial sperm and eggs, or synthetic gametes, I guess is how you say that. Now, this is from stem cells, where labs are crafting reproductive cells in ways that could, in principle, allow reproduction without the union of male and female. The culture calls this inclusive family planning. Scripture calls it a rejection of God's created order, where God said male and female, he created them. The goal isn't just helping the infertile, but instead severing the sacred from the biological, replacing covenant with chemistry. And don't forget about CRISPR now, CRISPR technology, that's CRISPR, leave out the E, and its goal of designer humanity, where the gene editing scissors, embryos are being rewritten. The sales pitch is mercy, erasing disease and amending what's broken. We all pray for the healing of the sick, but we must separate healing from enhancement, and from stewardship to sovereignty. The desire to select eye color, height, muscle composition, or intelligence isn't medicine. It's man literally playing God and man seeking a new image to worship. Synthetic biology is hoping to be the new Genesis. Scientists now design sequences that never existed, conjuring proteins, organisms, and potential life forms by algorithm. They talk openly of directed evolution, but God alone directs creation. And when man tries to ascend to the throne, then obviously judgment follows. So the prophetic mirror is this. Genesis 11 shows a humanity that's unified against God. Let us build. Let us make a name. And then Revelation 18 shows the end of the project. A global system, Babylon, dazzling, wealthy, and drunk on its own power, brought down in one single hour. Between those bookends runs the single thread of scientists, full of pride, wearing lab coats of progress. So right now, we stand on the brink of an all-new Tower of Babel. This time, the bricks are petri dishes. The mortar code, the mortar is code, and the scaffolding is pride. As in the days of Noah, the world calls it brilliance, and heaven calls it rebellion. Now, David, I didn't realize that they, I knew about CRISPR. We've talked about it several times. I knew about the Chinese coming up with this artificial womb. But artificial eggs popped up just recently, and I had not heard until I started doing the research for the show about artificial sperm. Now, this is getting completely out of control at this point. What are your feelings on this stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, here we go, and it's the same thing as before, except last time the fallen angels tried to do it a little bit differently, where they stole the women and raped them.
Right.
But now they wouldn't be able to stand up to that any longer because God dumbed us down in our DNA and lifespan. And we're just, you know, human DNA is just not strong enough for that anymore. It's about to decode completely and fall apart. Jesus, in his mercy, will always wait till the last minute. You remember that dude named Methuselah?
Oh, yeah. 900 and something, whatever it was.
Yeah, 969. So Enoch knew that the death of Methuselah would bring the judgment because that's what his name means. His death shall bring. So, and that was 969 years earlier. So he had a little prophecy going on, Enoch. He named him that on purpose. But if you also realize Methuselah is the oldest recorded living being in the Bible at 969 years.
Right.
And that just says his mercy is allowing things to go on to give people enough time, okay, and to receive him. Now, with the recent events with Charlie Kirk, all of a sudden, here's this young man, which is a tragedy that he was killed. Lots of conspiracy theories on that, folks, on how that actually happened.
Right.
We're not going to talk about that today. But the point is, there are revivals breaking out worldwide.
Amen.
Every single nation on the planet is like, oh, what, they killed him because he talked about Jesus. Well, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. We're going to have rallies with hundreds of thousands of people showing up to the rallies proclaiming Jesus Christ. You know, New Zealand's doing the hakas. Ah, we're a Christian nation and doing all these wacky dances, which are pretty cool. But and then all around the world, it's the same thing. So that might be a signal for the very last of the very last days. It certainly interesting, if nothing less, or it might be a signal for the next great revival, and then we have another jubilee cycle to go through. So there's a lot of things there, but I don't think we have much time because we are at the cusp of these genomes and these artificial wombs, as we call them, and all this other stuff. The problem with that is it's the same old lie from 6,000 years ago. Remember what that was?
Be like God.
Exactly. Just like you said in the beginning. Look, they want to be like God without God. There's a problem with that, though, and it's not just because we're mad or because of anything else. The problem is they're still using God's creation. They're still using God's creation code. There's a code involved. They're using all his source materials.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that real quick because, you know, you have mentioned several times where you said that the human body now could not do what the human body back then was capable of doing because of the degradation, whatever, of the DNA. Is that the reason that they're going for the artificial, to try and create artificial human that they could then inhabit? And, of course, Satan would call that his win, correct?
Yeah. So, and they're doing that, and they're like, obviously 100 years ago, we couldn't have made this artificial womb, even if we had the idea, because the technology wasn't advanced enough back then.
Right.
So they had to reach a point where the technology would be enough to fill in the gaps where the DNA just won't handle it. Okay. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a big problem is they're using God's source code, his design code, because it's 3.2 billion characters long. And they're using all of his source materials.
Yeah.
If you really think you're smart, go create your own code and then go create your own source materials. Make something else than the atoms that we have in this universe.
Yeah, there is an ongoing scientific move to create that third screen of DNA. You know, and
well, they have to, yeah.
Yeah, and that, of course, goes right into all this this other artificial stuff as well. So, you know, there's that.
You know? Yeah, and it's the same old story.
Yeah.
You don't have your own stuff. You're just trying to use God's stuff and twist it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to the next one here. Let's see. Here we go. Nope, that's not it. I'm making all kinds of mistakes today. It was getting crazy.
Okay.
Transhumanism is what we need to talk about and the image that speaks. Now, if the first segment was about recreating birth, now this one is about recreating man, not healing the broken, but redefining the human. Look at this new concept of the wire to the mind. Brain to computer interfaces are crossing the skin and the skull, promising to restore motion and memory. Now, we celebrate miracles from heaven, just as Jesus healed the lame and opened blind eyes, but mercy from God always arrives with truth from God. These projects carry a huge deception, the transfer of thought itself into the hands of systems, companies, and states. When the wire can read, it can write. When it can sense, it can steer. And when minds are connected to the network holds the thermostat on what a mind may be. Now, that leads to the engineered body. Military labs and private ventures are testing enhancements right now for stronger, faster, sleepless soldiers, men that can march for days, a sentinel who never misses, but the heart of man remains the same. Without the spirit, enhancements arm the old nature with new teeth. Scripture warns of a final empire that devours the whole earth, and technology can make this a reality sooner rather than later. Now, eternal life isn't data backed up to a server. It's a person who conquers the grave. When the world says we will live forever by our own hand, it is the serpent's whisper warmed over again. You shall be as gods. Maybe the image of the beast is no longer just a statue. Revelation 13 speaks of an image that breathes and speaks, demanding worship under penalty. In an age of lifelike AI, photoreal avatars, and autonomous systems, we can easily imagine an enforceable global speaking image, fully connected to our finance, our identity, and even to our very survival. The old idol was a mute stone. The new idol may very well be a living simulation with a voice, a gaze, and a database. So here's Daniel's riddle and Noah's warning. Daniel 2:43 hints at a kingdom that mingles with the seed of men, but doesn't truly cleave. Now that's an eerie picture of hybrids and integrations that never fuse into God's design. Genesis 6 shows a world where all flesh had corrupted its way. Whether through the demonic or the digital, the pattern is just repeating itself. Mixture without covenant, power without holiness. Transhumanism promises transcendence without repentance. It offers a throne without a cross. But true glory comes by way of Calvary, not circuitry. This is the time to know the difference. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's big. And we've often wondered for decades, myself and my prophecy friends, what will this image look like?
Yeah.
You know? So there was all sorts of rumors at once. You know, it's just going to be, like a picture. There was the image is a statue and everyone's got to worship it like they would Nebuchadnezzar. And on and on and on. And then became, the UPC codes, you know, with the 666. It was that. It was credit cards for a while. I mean, even as far as back as Gutenberg, they thought that was the mark of the beast, because now you can reprint books really fast. And we never could understand, what does he mean by this image of the beast? Mm-hmm. So it's, and it says, oh, it's a mark, because it does have some implications of a mark. So now it went into, oh, they got tattoos. And then the Google tattoo came out. Now, oh, there's the mark of the beast right there. And okay, so what does that mean? Now it is so simple to see what the Bible was talking about the whole time. It's literally a fake image of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
So they hire this dude. Hey, who wants to be the Antichrist? They, you know, they look him up on LinkedIn. He's got a good, oh, I've deceived countries and I do all this crazy stuff. Okay, you can be the Antichrist. They don't need it to be any specific person. Satan always had an Antichrist in the wings, if you would, because he doesn't know when the rapture happens either. So, and because of the nature of this whole thing, he doesn't need it to be any specific person. Mm-hmm. So for all these years, people say, oh, it's Ronald Reagan's the Antichrist because of his name. Then it was Obama. Then it was Clinton. Then it was, you know, Idi Amin. It's like, it really doesn't matter, because whoever it is, they're going to kill him halfway through the tribulation period. And then they're going to pretend that he's resurrected. Mm-hmm. So whatever he looks like doesn't matter, because they're just going to use AI and like an AI hologram and AI voice reproduction to make it seem like this actual person rose from the dead. And that is where Satan is going to inhabit that thing to the best of his ability. I think he can somewhat at least manipulate AI and computers to a point where it just looks like it's real. And then he would just be the voice of it, you know, just like Stephen Hawking. You know, I mean, for how 20 years or so, he couldn't even talk. He just kind of looked at you.
Yeah.
How do we know that was him saying those things?
Yeah. Yeah.
It could have been anybody. And so we got the same idea here. That the Antichrist that raises from the dead is actually going to be manipulated by Satan himself and then cause everyone to do all these things.
Well, now let me ask you this. Do you think that the elites, the so-called elites, are going to be involved in this? I mean, you know, I hear about all the different nations and I guess I don't think I'm phrasing it right. The horns, you know, which I equate to nations. Is that not only nations but the elites within the nations, or the elites that make the nations do what they want them to do? Do you think that they're a part of what will eventually become the Antichrist?
Yeah,
his manipulation.
They're part of the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're all vying for that opportunity to be the one world ruler. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Hilarion, Hillary was always crying, "It's my turn! It's my turn!"
Right.
This is what they all do. They cry that it's their own turn. So, and I'm not sure if just anybody can become an elite, but I am certain that they won't let you become an elite unless you, you know, succumb to their wishes.
Yeah.
You got to do that. But here's the deal. They promised them, oh, if you're going to be one of the elites, you're going to be the ruler and you're going to live forever and you're going to be one of the great people in this next grand age that we have coming up. The problem is that's all a lie too, because obviously, fallen angels have insights, and so do demons, of things that happened in the past. So they're like, oh, yeah, oh, I'm your grandmother, and I did this and this and this. Yeah. Oh, they knew what my grandmother did. It must be her. No, stupid. That was an angel that was actually there and saw the whole thing. All right? There is no seances. People don't come back. But they know all this history, and then they manipulate everything and say, oh, you can be an elite, and then they'll, you know, because people don't know the contract law, they are accused of all this stuff and they make all these different things happen and they don't know how to counteract that. So here we are. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this one too, David. You know, Gates is the one that's behind this new tattoo, you know, that supposedly is going to be the next smartphone or the, you know, the replacement.
Well, it's not new. He's just taken.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's whether it's new or not, he's the one that's coming up with this stuff. I mean, you know, that's promoting it, right? And so my question in all that is, do you think that maybe Satan is directing this or that maybe and on top of that, do you think Gates has any idea? I mean, the first clue, and this is just complete supposition. I understand that, and I want to make it clear to everybody. What we're about to say here is complete opinion. But do you think that he has any knowledge of what he's doing, of the role that he's playing in the end times?
I can surmise, and my in my humble yet completely accurate opinion, that he is just deceived, and he's got such a big head on him. Remember, he was the geek that everybody beat up in high school, so he's trying to make up for that.
Yeah,
and now he's got I got all this power now, and then more power just is like now he's a glutton. Now he's addicted to all this stuff, where he doesn't belong anywhere near society, you know, at all. But now he thinks that these elites are telling him that, oh, he's going to be one of the powerful ones, and they're just going to eat him when the day comes as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, but they thoroughly believe it themselves, but it's not true.
Yeah. And do you believe, as I do, and again, this is strictly opinion, but do you believe that Satan is behind this, that Satan is one directing him to pull this stuff off?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they got a hierarchy, obviously, and Satan, the big boss, really, I guess, the big man, right? The and then they have to succumb. You got to work your way up the demon ladder, if you would,
or
the fallen angel ladder. But yeah, he's 100% behind it, and the mastermind of all these things.
Okay.
So, yeah, we see them, and they're. They've been planning this for a while, as we can see in the Bible. So
I tend to agree with you 100% on that. But again, you know, for everybody out there, we try to be really honest with you guys and what's scripture, what's biblical, and what is just straight up opinion. And in the last couple of minutes here of the show, we've given you straight up opinion, which is, you know, ours. But like David says, we believe that we're correct in those opinions. Now, in the second half of the show, we're going to get into God, playing God with life and death. I'm talking about science playing the role of God here. And then we'll finish off the show with God's intervention, because it's coming, just like it did with the flood when Noah was able to escape in the ark. There is an ark for us. We will be able to escape this. And as a matter of fact, that ark is available now. The door is open. Everybody is welcome to go in. I've already walked up those steps. David's already walked up those steps. And we hope that you guys will too. We'll be back to tell you more about it right after this.
The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. For every broadcast and message, we rely on you to keep this mission alive. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every fully tax-deductible gift matters. Or you can help by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. And now, through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save 30% on individual classes and 45% on group courses. Remember, every donation or purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand and pray with us and support the mission.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality? What the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current-day phenomena, If you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. And that's Mr. David Paxton there on the other side of your screen from New York. David, real quick, I'm going to let everybody know that next week on this day, this is actually the Tuesday show for Revelation Radio. And if you're listening via that, then if you look forward 1 week, we're going to have a show for you that I don't believe YouTube's going to like very much.
Good.
I can almost guarantee you, and it just happens to be one of the reasons why we didn't run it this week, because I felt like God wanted me to get this particular message out. But next week, I'm going to give you a preview. Next week, this is what we're going to look at. Violence by Design, How Democrats Fueled America's Unrest. I'm going to tell you the truth about the Democrat Party. I'm going to be real blunt about it, but we're going to do it factually. We're not going to make up anything. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell you the truth. So if you can't handle the truth, don't tune in. If you can handle the truth, or you want to know what the truth is, then that show is for you. Okay, we'll get back into this right away here. And what we're going to talk about now is man playing God with life and death. So the impulse to improve humanity inevitably collides with the question of who should live, who should die, who gets organs, oxygen, and opportunity. When algorithms triage and hybrids grow in labs, science has crossed the line that God will not allow to be crossed. Now, how do you say that word, David? Chimeras? Or
Chimeras.
Chimeras. Okay. Now, that's a blurred boundary here. We got human cells placed in animal embryos, then grown to generate organs for transplantation. Now, this has been heralded as a solution to the shortage of human organs needed for transplants. But God divided kinds for a reason rooted in wisdom. When we cross the boundary he set, we invite confusion and corruption. Now, we may grow a heart, but at what cost to the heart of man? Even more dangerous is cloning and replication itself. Animals have been cloned, and the line to humans is only a legal barrier away. The logic is simple. If we can, eventually we will. But a cloned image is still dust, and dust returns to stone. So what's gained if we replicate our bodies, but in so doing, we lose our souls? Now, AI in time will be adjudicated life. Triage algorithms, rank patients, insurance models deny and approve, risk scores decide who receives scarce care. Computers don't know compassion, only correlation. They don't hear cries or have an ounce of compassion. Where Moses said, choose life, the machine says, choose efficiency. And of course, we have to include abortion by automation and birth by automation. From cold calculation that ends life to the cold calculation that fabricates it, we see the same thing, convenience through automation. But God numbers our days and knits us together in the womb. If a machine becomes the womb, do we really believe that the machine is the knitter? And what should be obvious to all of us is that violence follows corruption. Genesis 6:11 says the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. Whenever we dethrone God's design, violence rises. It may begin as sterile procedure and peer-reviewed papers, but in the end, it's broken homes, exploited children, and a society that calls evil good. The issue isn't the tools that exist, I should say. So what do you think about this, David? Your perspective of it all.
Yeah, I mean, this is where it's from the beginning. They maybe we should revisit this. I think it's been a while.
Okay.
Where in Jubilees, I believe it's chapter 10, it explains what happens to the spirits of all the Nephilim, that mm-hmm. they were locked up. Noah came off the boat and said, he asked God, he said, can you please get rid of all these spirits so my children don't fall for this? And then Satan, under the guise of Mastema, have said, well, then who's going to do what I tell him to do? Mm-hmm. And he basically got 10% of them to stay above. So 90% of those fallen, the Nephilim, the mm-hmm. half-breeds, the half-breed spirits are locked up in the abyss, but the 10% are out. So here they are in the end days, and they're looking for some way to create bodies. So when they try and open the abyss through, you know, maybe CERN is above Apollyon, that, mm-hmm. that altar over there, there's probably a portal of some kind. But that would let all of them out. Even Revelation says the, you know, the abyss, and then out come all these things that look weird and like locusts and all the scorpion uh-huh. wings and all this crazy uh-huh. stuff. These are the demons that are down there, the half-breed spirits. Mm-hmm. And they mixed all sorts of animal DNA. It wasn't even just humans. They mixed, we see them today, centaurs and minotaurs and, we see mermaids as half this and half that, and mm-hmm. all of these so-called animals, but they're all mixed, and they're all like half-breeds of one form or another, because they're trying to make their own, again, out of God's source materials. They mm-hmm. can't even go get their own materials. So now they're just trying to do it with technology, because all the DNA in the universe is breaking down until such time Jesus returns and sparks it back up again, because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. he will. He says it's a time of restoration of all things. That's when Jesus returns and rules on the earth for 1,000 years.
Well, now there was, again, this is one of those deals where I see on Telegram, you know, I'm on a billion different feeds, I think. Everybody wants me on for some stupid reason. But mm-hmm. anyway, dinosaurs came up. And mm-hmm. this is one topic I really struggle talking about. So I'm kind of put it in your hands on this one. But do you mm-hmm. think that dinosaurs were there before the fall or after the fall? And I've got a reason for asking that question, which is Satan, I mean, he's incapable of creating anything new. We know that. Is that a mixture? Was that a possibility of one of the mixtures, or am I just going down the wrong path?
I guess it depends on the. It really depends on which dinosaur you're talking about.
All of them,
because I yeah,
yeah, basically all of them.
that's kind of a term we use, but okay. I mean we've lost animals even in the last couple hundred years that yes. went extinct.
Extinction. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, hey, there was these, and then they're like, oh, they're millions of years. No, they were mm-hmm. just big animals, and they were reptiles that were huge, mm-hmm. and they couldn't live after the flood anymore. But we still have small ones like alligators and crocodiles mm-hmm. and turtles and that mm-hmm. kind of a thing. And then some that, you know, were just similar to the ones we have today, like mammoths. They're kind of the elephant family, right? Mm-hmm. And then the brontosaurus is just too big. It just can't survive in this atmosphere. Because you got to remember, the atmosphere was different back then.
Okay.
Twice as much air pressure, because the Earth was smaller, more compressed. It was the dome around it that the flat earthers think is there today. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. And it would compress the air, and you would be able to absorb more oxygen. It would filter out the harmful rays of the sun. So that's why people live so long, and that's why everything grew so big.
Yeah.
So yeah. Now you destroy that environment, and now the animals start dying off. Okay. Now, in certain situations, maybe in some of the lower regions of the earth, there is enough pressure, just enough to let that live, or mm-hmm. in certain conditions. But for the vast majority of them, they just died off. We just call them dinosaurs, and then people say, oh, the word dinosaur is not in the Bible. It's because they hadn't invented it yet until the 1800s.
Dummy. The word Bible's not in the Bible.
Yeah,
the
Bible's not in the Bible. Neither is a computer, but you're on one. So therein lies that. They are the vast majority of them just died off. There are those who surmise that some of them were half-breeds. I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah, that was what I was getting at, is whether or not that was a possibility. Because, again, Satan can't create anything. Okay. There was one of the people there that didn't even believe dinosaurs ever existed. And I was like, what?
Okay, good.
I don't understand where you're coming from.
Tanim is the word for the dragons. They were the ones with the big wings that everyone fought. And they were around even just a few hundred years ago in every single civilization that just – like randomly made up the same imaginary creature? I don't think so. The dragons are fought, and there's still some around today, but it's really hard to find.
Kimona dragon would be one that comes to mind.
Yeah, right? I mean, but if you're talking half-breeds, you might be looking at, you know, Bigfoot, and maybe there's somewhat interdimensional.
Maybe there is a Bigfoot.
Might be looking at mermaids, like we talked about. They've found actual centaur type skeletons, which is where they got the idea from.
I just hope we get unicorns back. I thought that was pretty cool.
Some people think the Tyrannosaurus Rex was like a cross between a giant alligator and a man too, because of like the short arms and
well stuff. You know, that one kind of makes sense. You know, if you go back to to the Fall, where you had the giants and what was the other one,
Behemoth and Leviathan?
One was called Giants and one was called something else. I don't know.
The Nephilim?
No, forget it. I'll think of it.
Well, remember, they were tiny, too. You see Tinkerbell and gnomes and all that stuff, they were Nephilim as well. They weren't all giants.
It makes sense that if you've got something that's that big, remember, you know, they were saying that they crossed over into the promised land, and you know, they felt like they were ants or something.
It was when he sent all the Israelites out,
right?
And 10 came back and they were scared and peeing their pants like little girls,
right?
And it was Joshua and Caleb. It's like, we could take them. We got God on our side.
So, you know, it makes sense that they would inhabit somebody's, you know, body like that and then create the, you know, create that, what are you calling it, Tyrannosaurus X. Okay. All right. Before we go on to the...
Chimera. Is that the word you're looking for?
No. It's Gamera's. I don't remember what it's called. anyway, but before we move on to the next one, I do want to remind everybody that the Last Christian Radio Show is broadcasting truth to the world in desperate need of it. So here's the
gibberine.
Truth.
That's the word you're looking for.
There it's it. That's it. That's it exactly. Okay.
All right. But you won't turn into a gibberine if you eat these pride bars.
Anyway, the truth that you may not know is that this broadcast exists because of you. We are 100% listener supported. We don't take government grants. We don't bow to advertisers. We have, you obviously have figured out by now that we have no script. Okay. Anyway, we rely just on people like yourself, those who believe in what we're doing, those who want to see the truth preserved and boldly proclaimed. Now, there's two powerful ways you can stand with us right now. First, you can give to us directly, a one-time gift, a monthly commitment, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Now, that makes a big difference. Just visit lastchristian.net and either click the donate button or the partner with us button. Every gift is fully tax deductible. Second, you can support us simply by shopping. When you purchase from our trusted affiliates, a portion goes straight to support this ministry without costing you a penny more. So grab your morning boost with Everyday Dose coffee, and you'll see David and I drinking that. Stock up on quality gear at the conservative store. Fuel your body with Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and David eats those a lot. I have finally got one, David. Those are really good. Dive deep into Scripture with resources from Christian Book. Now you can even learn Biblical Hebrew and more through Israel Institute of Biblical Studies with discounts of up to 45% exclusively through the link on our site. You're not going to get it if you don't click the link. Now, these are brands that we believe in and they believe in us. So why not shop with a purpose? Go to lastchristian.net. Again, click either the donate button or the partner with us button, and you'll find the links to give directly or through our affiliates. And together, we will be proclaiming the gospel and preparing the church and standing for truth. All right, David, we got one more to go through today, and that is God's intervention. The days of Noah repeated. So we're looking at judgment, mercy, and the only safe future. If this were only a tale of human pride, it would end in despair. But the author of life, God, writes a much better final chapter. The same God who judged the flood, scattered Babel, and confounded proud empires has also poured out his Spirit, redeeming those of us who chose to believe in Jesus Christ. The last word does not belong to a lab, it belongs to the Lamb. Babel is basically was reversed at Pentecost, a Babel language divided rebels. At Pentecost, language united the redeemed. The Spirit formed a new humanity, and not one engineered by code, but reborn by grace. That's the only unity God blesses, unity in truth under the lordship of Jesus. Babylon's fall will be swift and final. Now, Revelation declares that the glittering global system collapses in 1 hour. Merchants, kings, and the elite to weep as the tower burns. God tolerates pride for a season, but never forever. When the cup is full, judgment falls, and it will. Now, our response in the meantime should be, we do not panic, we prepare. We do not worship innovation, we weigh it. We do not flee the world, we shine in it. We preach the gospel that saves souls, because the world is busy trying to save selves. We teach our children that the bodies are gifts, not glitches. We honor mothers and fathers in the Holy Covenant, where life is meant to begin. We contend for laws that defend the least of these. And we refuse every bargain that demands that we bow to a speaking image in exchange for convenience, access, or bread. So what does redemption look like? Well, it's not a patch or an upgrade. It's a new heart. It's the great physician healing what no surgeon can reach. It's the Creator forgiving the creature who tried to steal his job. It's the bridegroom adopting the children the world would edit, discard, or sell. And it's freedom from the tyranny of self. So if you've been dazzled by the promise of man-made immortality, here are the better promise you really need to accept. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So if you've been wounded by the cold calculus of systems, come to the shepherd who knows your name. And if you've participated in what we've been describing, please understand that God's mercy is greater than your sin. Repent, run to Jesus, and be made a new creation. Revelation 7:9 shows a multitude from every nation, tribe, and tongue standing before the throne glorified by grace. No more death, no more corruption, no more counterfeit creation, just the redeemed and their Redeemer, together forever. We are, in fact, living as in the days of Noah, as the world builds a new tower. But just as in the days of Noah, God provides that ark. It's an ark not of wood. It's a cross, a Savior, and an empty tomb. Step inside while the door is still open. Stand unashamed, proclaiming Jesus is Lord. The Bible is true, and no throne stands against Him. Stay faithful, stay bold, and keep your eyes on the eastern sky. What to do now if you have received that gift of salvation is really simple. It's the ABCs. Admit you're a sinner, tell God that you know you've sinned, and ask for forgiveness. Believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died on the cross and rose again as full payment for your sins. Then confess with your mouth that you believe in Him. Let Him come to you and accept Him as your Lord and personal Savior. Now, if you'll pray a prayer like that, and you would like to let it be known to the world, just take a moment and email us here at office@lastchristian.net. That's office@lastchristian.net. We'd love to celebrate your salvation with you. We'll also provide you with a link where you can be able to study the Bible in easy-to-understand language as our free gift to you as you begin your journey as a new creation, as written in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things become new." But what do you think about all this, David? We're getting down here toward the end of the show, but judgment is coming, right? I mean, We're not. Yeah, he's not going to let this go on forever, right?
Yeah. So the question often comes up by the antagonists of the world who are atheists and spend their entire lives fighting against the God they don't believe exists.
Right.
Their questions are kind of dumb. Why does God allow suffering in the world? How come he didn't just, kill everybody off and then start fresh and all of these things? Mm-hmm. And you need to realize that he is a just God. He is righteous and holy, and he judges in righteousness. Okay? So when he gave us this planet in the beginning, he talked to Adam and Eve. Remember those two?
Yep.
And he said, I give you dominion. You are to take dominion over the plants, the animals, and all the birds and all that cool stuff. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to take care of the earth, and you're supposed to multiply and fill the earth. And your role is to subdue it, which means if it starts to get out of line, your job is to put it back in line. Right. That's complete ownership, because we were made in his image and after his likeness. It's two different things. So it's in his image and after his likeness. We look like him and we act like him, and we have his full authority because of that. So he can't just come in and say, oh, never mind, we're just going to erase everything and start over again. All right? That wouldn't be a righteous judge. Mm-hmm. So he did have the... he does have the legal authority to let this all play out and just destroy everything, because he is the righteous judge, and those are the rules. In the day that you eat this fruit, you shall surely die. So because part of that contract said, don't eat that, and it was the knowledge of fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I got it in order, and that's right now. That essentially is you're trying to be God without God. That's why, Satan says, to them, he comes out and he says, but you'll be like God if you do this. Mm-hmm. And instead of Eve saying, well, we're already like God, and we're going to walk with him, she's like, oh, that sounds tasty. Let me try that. So Adam is like, oh, crud. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, my woman has now done this. So he actually chose to jump in after her to retrieve her. Okay. A lot of people say, oh, Adam sinned and he blamed his wife and this and that. No, he didn't blame his wife. He told God, that woman that you gave me that I love with my whole life, I would rather jump in after her than to live knowing that she's going to be burning in hell for all eternity after that. So it's a type of Christ there. So that was the pattern that Jesus had for us. So he has every right to say, you know what? We're not going to do this. But he loved us so much, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And then in verse 18, John 3:16, verse 18, it says, if you don't, you're condemned already. Mm-hmm. Says you started out condemned. So it's not like he's just being a big bad God and he's going to like condemn you. No, you're already condemned. It's his love for you that says, I'm going to jump in after you. And he became a man in order to pay off that debt contract that you have. Mm-hmm. All right. And people think, oh, well, Jesus, he was a great prophet. He was this, he was that. No, it was God himself that became a man in order to fulfill the requirements of the contract, which is between like kinds. Look up contract law maxims. Mm-hmm. The contracts have to be between like kinds. So there was no other way other than to become a man and to pay off that debt.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Okay. So this is where we're at. God is a righteous judge. So if he just came along and said, you know what, I'm just going to erase everything and start over, how is that judging righteousness?
Well, see, that was the point I was about to make, is that people need to understand how blessed they are to have this opportunity, because God is, I mean, he's control of everything. He has no badness in him at all. He's got hasn't even thought about something that, he could do differently as far as you know, okay, I'm just going to, all he's got to do is say one thing and we're all gone in an instant. Okay.
Yeah,
and
who's
going to judge him for it? There's nobody left. Mm-hmm. You know, be glad that he's given you this opportunity. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. You know, and that's something 100%. That really needs, you know, people need to think about this. Because I've seen people say, no, God didn't come to earth. Yes, he did. End of story. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you're wrong.
Yeah. Well, you can believe that if you want. However, then you still got to pay for your own sins. So good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That might not be a pretty picture. Just saying. You know, and it's literally no skin off my back.
Mm-hmm.
We're leading people to Christ every day.
Mm-hmm.
We also recognize that there are some Looney Tunes out there that would turn down the offer of, hey, let me live with Almighty God for all eternity, or just be mad at him and then he'll burn me and I can yell at him in hell. It just doesn't make any sense. But God is a righteous judge, so he has to let all of this play out so he can judge it accordingly, so he can redeem us, that's a legal term, in righteousness, and pay everything off. So now there's no double jeopardy, and we can go and live with him, because now we plead that blood.
But it
says that we can live with him for all eternity.
I was just going to say, David, that you gave the best explanation of, you know, people say all the time, why would God do that? Why did he do that? Why did he allow that? And, you know, you've got the perfect answer for that. You know, and I wish I could always remember how you said it to repeat it, because
it's recorded now, perfect.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect. You know, he's got to let things play out. He just has to in order to judge.
To be a righteous judge.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, we're down to like a minute and 20. David, go ahead and take us out of the show.
Okay. We're out. I'll see you. Oh, no, wait.
Talk about shadows if you want to.
Yeah, we did kind of go over the salvation thing ad infinitum. So there's that. Now, with Nestor and I, we talk about some of these funky things that you'll see, like the hierarchy of the angels in the past, and like the Bigfoot that we spoke about, and like all these chimeras where the DNA was twisted about in the past. And it's called Shadows of a Greater Reality. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lot of fun, because we get some great guests on there that talk about these fringe topics that you most likely haven't heard of in church. And they're afraid to talk about them because most people are like scared of the topic or they just don't understand the topic. Uh-huh. And they don't want to scare people away because, you know, that's their bread and butter. I might lose tithers. Well, speak the truth. Don't worry. You get your tithe back in 1,000 years. It'll be good.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. But Lord willing, we'll still be here on the next show. And if we're not, we're up in the air and we'll see you there. You guys have a blessed day. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. Remember, this program is only made possible by the support of people just like you. We receive no outside funding or corporate backing. Everything we do is sustained by those who believe in our mission to speak truth, stand boldly for Christ, and proclaim the gospel in these final days. Your partnership makes a real difference. A single monetary gift helps keep us on the air, while monthly and annual commitments give us the steady foundation to expand our outreach and reach more souls with God's Word. You can also stand with us simply by shopping with our affiliate partners. That's just another way to ensure this ministry remains strong and uncompromised. To learn more or to join us as a partner, visit lastchristian.net. Again, that's lastchristian.net. Until tomorrow night, thank you. Good night. And God bless.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality, what the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time.
From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.